Chapter 10, Attitude, Your Mental Disposition. In the preceding chapters, we defined the mind, thoughts, and the brain, and in discussing the brain, I emphasize how it works with the mind to give an individual his or her character. It is my hope and belief that you've learned something that has been beneficial to you from what you've listened to thus far. Now, we'll look at another key word from the definition of the mind, which is the word attitude. Remember, the mind is the faculty of man's reasoning and thoughts. It holds the power of imagination, recognition, and appreciation, and it's responsible for processing feelings and emotions, resulting in attitude. We've just discussed the processing of feelings and emotions. Now, we'll look at the result of that processing, attitude. Attitude is the disposition to act in ways determined by the mental processes of our feelings, emotions, beliefs, or reasoning. This means you are responsible for your attitude. The way you act, pose, walk, talk, respond, etc. Man's Information Processing Center. By now you must have understood that the mind is the information processing center of the human person. In our definition of the brain, we said it is the primary center for the regulation and control of bodily activities, receiving and interpreting sensory impulses and transmitting information to the muscles and body organs. I want you to hold that definition of the brain as we delve further into the study of the mind, and you'll discover that they do very similar things, except that one is spiritual while the other is physical. The mind is the information processing center of the human person. It collects and processes all the information received through the nervous system of the outward man and through the spiritual senses of the inward man, human spirit and soul. The processing and eventual interpretation of information by the mind determines human behavior or attitude. This is the reason for your attitude, positive or negative. It all comes from your mind and how you process the information you receive. You may not always be responsible for how information comes to you, but you are certainly responsible for what you do with it. That is, how you process and act on it. And that's what matters. So how do you process the information that comes to you? Today, we talk about crude oil, gold, diamond, and all kinds of precious substances beneath the earth, and all the beautiful things that come from processing them. But do you know there are nations walking on oil, gold, and diamond today that get nothing from them because they don't know how to process them? It's the same thing with the mind. If you don't learn how to process your thoughts and mind the rich deposits of your inward man, you will get nothing from it, and it will reflect in the quality of your life. You must make the very important choice to get the best out of your spirit through the diligent management of your mind. An exciting reality. The exciting reality of the mind is that its content and processes can be managed. This means they can be reorganized and reprogrammed. When you were born again, you were born after God, with His very life and nature in you. This means that you have an excellent spirit. For he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. However, having an excellent spirit doesn't necessarily mean you are walking in excellence. But you can walk in excellence, and that's the reason for the message in this book. You see, the best and most excellent things of your spirit are expressed through your mind. Let's read some scriptures in connection with this. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The same verse from the New International Version reads thus, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Keep or guard your heart with all diligence, above all else, and with everything you've got, because it's the wellspring of life. Now, remember that your mind is the door to your heart. So if you are to guard your heart, where better to start from than your mind? That's what this scripture here is telling you. To mount guard over your mind, your thoughts, and your thinking process. Then he says in verse 24 to 25, "Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you." Perversity here refers to deviation. So, in other words, don't deviate in your speech or talk. Instead, let your eyes look straight on. When God has given you His word about your life, your work, family, marriage, children, finances, or whatever it is, don't lose His direction. Don't say the wrong things or speak outside of what God has said concerning you. Speak His word and look straight on. This is what this scripture here is telling you. Refuse to deviate. How wonderful it is to know that the best things of our spirits are expressed through our minds. Renewal of the mind. The first and most important aspect of preparing your mind to glorify God is its renewal. This is the first thing you must do in learning to use your mind right. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, "Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you." Amplified. You've got to have new ideals and attitudes and be changed by the entire renewal of your mind. This is a complete overhauling of your mind, not just a change in some areas or aspects. And this doesn't just happen overnight. It's something you must do consciously and continually. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul said his inward man was renewed day by day. This is what should be happening with you as well. Your inward man should be changed, transformed, renewed day by day. I told you the exciting thing about the mind is that its contents and processes can be managed, reorganized, or reprogrammed. This is exactly what Paul is talking about here when he says to renew your mind. Your mind must be renewed in content and processes. This is the taxing but worthy exercise. And the only potent instrument to achieve this effectively is the Word of God. Now let's look at two other key scriptures. Number one, Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 to 10. "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." This is talking about the renewal of the contents of your mind. Your mind must receive new knowledge to replace the sense knowledge you used to have or the worldly wisdom you walked in regarding any subject. This new knowledge is the epignosis of the Spirit, a new knowledge of God. Go for and receive new knowledge. Learn spiritual verities through the Word and the agency of the Holy Spirit. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Observing the foregoing, two important factors: removing, discarding, or deleting the old information, receiving new information and knowledge through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Number two, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 to 23. "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." To be renewed in the spirit of your mind refers to being renewed in the character or attitude of your mind. Look at the same scripture from the Amplified Bible. It says, "Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude." The New International Version says, "Be made new in the attitude of your minds." This means there's a new processing, a new way of looking at things, a new perspective. Remember, it's the mental processing of your feelings and emotions that results in your attitude. So for you to have a new attitude, you've got to have a new way of processing your thoughts, feelings, and emotions through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You've got to start seeing things from God's perspective. When you do, your attitude will change in consistency with your new way of processing thoughts.